In the shadow of Nistraza prison, Lore fights for her life over a bar of stolen soap. Her punishment? 2 weeks in the Hollow, a pit in the ground where death is more likely than survival. As rain fills her prison and a monstrous creature circles above, Lore drifts between consciousness and vivid dreams of her siblings. Just when death seems certain, mysterious hands pull her from darkness into blinding light. This jarring transition marks Lore's entry into the Sun Palace of Aphelion, a realm of eternal daylight where crystal spires create rainbow cascades across marble floors. Here, she learns she's been selected as the final tribute for the Sun Queen Trials, competing against 9 females with magical bloodlines for the chance to rule alongside King Atlas. Her warder, Gabriel, a winged fey warrior with storm gray eyes, delivers chilling news. In nearly 8,000 years, no final tribute, especially not a human from the mortal realm, has ever survived. Why would they choose a prison rat for royal competition? As Lore navigates this golden paradise harboring dark secrets, one question burns brighter than Aphelion's eternal sun. What makes Prisoner 3452 so valuable that 2 enemy kings would fight to possess her? The contrast between Lore's past and present is jarring. One day, she's fighting for survival in Nostraza's filth. The next, she's bathed in perfumed waters and dressed in silks. The other tributes, daughters of noble houses with magical bloodlines, mock her prison origins. Madame Odell, who oversees their training, expresses disgust at Lore's scars, calling them marks of mortality's weakness. When Lore meets King Atlas, with copper-streaked hair and aquamarine eyes that shift like ocean depths, she feels an unwanted attraction that complicates her goal, surviving these trials to gain power and free her siblings from Nostraza. With nothing to lose and everything to gain, I'll compete, she tells herself, tracing her scars each night as a reminder of her promises. Yet beneath Aphelion's golden veneer lies a world of deception. Behind every smile lurks potential betrayal, and under each gilded surface lies centuries of tradition and sacrifice. The eternal sunlight casts deep shadows, and Lore must navigate both to survive. The Sun Queen Trials test more than skill. They're designed to break spirits. In the first challenge, contestants answer historical questions while suspended over monster-filled waters. Solana disappears after a wrong answer, while Lore falls despite answering correctly. Even though she's already lost, Lore risks her life to save fellow tribute Marici, who also fell, revealing her character even in competition. The physical gauntlet pushes limits as contestants navigate deadly obstacles. Lore's determination shows as she clings to a beam like a crab, inching forward with her bloodied leg making slick sounds against wood. When the crowd laughs, her internal response, "Fuck these people and this demeaning experience," reveals her unbroken spirit. Most disturbing is the final challenge. Tributes wake stranded on a mountainside and must make a leap of faith through an apparent illusion, landing in a maze where they face visions of loved ones in danger, a cruel psychological manipulation revealing Atlas's deception. Through these ordeals, unexpected alliances form. Halo and Marici confess they're secretly in love, a treasonous offense during the trials. If you become queen, they suggest, you might help us be together openly. This adds another burden to Lore's shoulders beyond her siblings. As trials progress, Lore's relationship with King Atlas deepens through private moments revealing his complexity. During an intimate oceanside dinner, he listens to her perspective on Nostraza's poverty and promises improvements. This tenderness solidifies Lore's resolve. I deserve happiness too, she realizes, now wanting the crown for herself beyond revenge or helping others. This connection shatters when she overhears Gabriel confronting Atlas about his interest in her. The king's admission that she's the right one and that he's done his part confirms her suspicions about receiving help during challenges. At the Sun Queen Trials Ball, Lore meets Prince Nadir of the Aurora, son of the king who imprisoned her. Their inexplicable connection threatens Atlas's plans, prompting him to ban Nadir from Aphelion and arrest Gabriel for treason. Meanwhile, Nadir investigates the disappearance of prisoner 3452 from Nostraza. His father, Aurora King Rion, shows unusual concern about this prisoner, killing the warden upon hearing of her apparent death. At the Hollow, Nadir detects the girl's scent, but finds evidence another High Fae had been there. When confronted, Rion evasively calls her a loose end while ordering Nadir to eliminate her if found. The mystery deepens. Why would two enemy kings have such intense interest in one prisoner? The climactic moment arrives when Lore faces the Sun Mirror alongside Apricia. Guards restrain her as Atlas reveals his true nature. "I stole you from the Aurora King, and you are mine." When Lore confronts the mirror, it reveals her painful memories, her parents' sacrifice, her capture by Aurora soldiers, and the king condemning her to imprisonment at Nostraza as potentially useful someday. Then comes the mirror's shocking revelation, addressing her as "Your Majesty." It tells her she doesn't belong here and speaks of rumors, forbidden bonds, and a lost crone she must find, suggesting her heritage is far more significant than she knows. Strategically, Lore lies to Atlas, claiming rejection. This forces him to let Apricia complete the trial, who transforms in golden light to become Sun Queen as everyone bows. Despite this, Atlas orders Gabriel to lock Lore away. Alone in her cell, Lore examines the crimson jewel her mother entrusted to her, a family heirloom with new significance. Though imprisoned again, she smiles into darkness, finally seeing a clearer path forward. Still a prisoner, but no longer caged. Shadow-cloaked Fae warriors break through Lore's cell enchantments with practiced efficiency. Despite suspicions about their motives, she accompanies them, having few alternatives as palace guards pursue them. She regains consciousness in a chamber of black stone, facing the Aurora Prince himself. "Hello, prisoner 3452," he smirks. "Welcome back to the Aurora." Though returned to captivity, Lore's perspective has transformed. "I am a prisoner," she acknowledges with quiet steel. "But I am no longer caged." While physically restricted, her understanding of her significance has expanded. The Sun Mirror's recognition of her as royalty and references to a lost crown suggests her imprisonment is temporary, one phase in a journey toward reclaiming her heritage. Nader's concern for her welfare, contrasted with his father's contradictory behavior, hints at deeper connections to the Aurora. His distinctive eyes, black as midnight, but flickering with jewel-toned hues like trapped auroras, trigger elusive memories pointing to hidden secrets. Though Lore has moved from one captivity to another, she has gained crucial knowledge, potential allies, and a sense of purpose. She may be imprisoned, but she is far from powerless, and both kingdoms are about to discover what happens when you underestimate a queen with nothing left to lose.